Hello and welcome to The Top Story, a podcast that gives you the why and how for a better understanding of the world's top events of our times. I'm Wen Jie. In this edition, we take a look at the U.S. Human Rights Report issued by China's State Council Information Office. China on Wednesday released a report detailing human rights violations that occurred in the United States last year. Timothy Ulrich reports.
In 2020, the COVID-19 pandemic turned the world upside down, and the worst affected country has been the United States. With less than 5% of the world's population, the U.S. accounts for more than 25% of the world's COVID-19 cases. More than 500,000 Americans have died, a figure that accounts for nearly 20% of the global total. In addition to citing Washington's poor handling of the pandemic, the report released by China says American democracy leads to political chaos, further tearing society apart. It said money-tainted politics distorted and suppressed public opinion, and people's confidence in the American democratic system had dropped to its lowest level in 20 years, and ethnic minorities still suffer systemic racial discrimination. The report says African Americans are 3 times more likely to be infected by COVID-19 than white people, and are twice as likely to die from the virus. Black people are also 3 times more likely than white people to be killed by police. The report also notes that gun sales and shootings in the U.S. are at record highs, threatening Social Security and destroying people's faith in social order. More than 41,000 people were killed by guns in the U.S. last year. That's more than 110 deaths per day. And the widening gap between the rich and the poor is aggravating social inequality in the U.S. The report also says Washington has trampled on international rules, resulting in humanitarian disasters. It says even when the world needs unity amid the pandemic, Washington has imposed sanctions wantonly and threatened international organizations. And the report says the U.S. is becoming the biggest troublemaker to global security and stability.
For more on this, Shane Bigham spoke to Harvey Zodin, senior fellow with the Center for China and Globalization.
What is your main takeaway from this report on the human rights situation in the United States?
Well, President Biden has made human rights abroad a U.S. priority issue. But the Bible tells us that only he who is without sin should cast the first stone. In other words, don't criticize others unless your own record is spotless. So before the U.S. pulls its holier-than-thou act against China, as it did last week in Alaska, it should first get its own house in order. The sad fact is that the ideal students learn in American history classes are, after 2.5 centuries, still more fiction than reality. Even before the American Revolution in 1776, racism was a part of the U.S.'s DNA, and it still is. We have not, in the words of our Constitution, established justice, ensured domestic tranquility, or promoted the general welfare. Racism against black people, who as slaves were counted as 3/5 of a white person in the Constitution. While no nation is perfect, the Chinese report reminds us on a yearly basis that so much work remains to be done in the U.S., where white supremacy still reigns supreme.
Well, how complicated is the issue of discrimination against minority groups in the United States amid COVID-19?
The Chinese report is fact-based, and if you rely on facts, it's not at all complicated, because the facts speak for themselves. Trump wanted America first, and he got it. The U.S. is still way first in COVID cases and deaths. To Biden's credit, he's quickly reversing the situation, but that doesn't help the 30 million plus Americans who've been infected, or the more than 500,000 who died. It's a sharp contrast to China. So as the report notes, U.S. minorities have suffered disproportionately from COVID, particularly blacks and Native Americans. Asians in the U.S. have suffered differently, as evidenced most recently in Atlanta a week ago. Asians have been discriminated against in the U.S. since the mid-19th century. So, as China did, Asians in America also have had a century of humiliation, and they still do. For decades, Chinese women were effectively prevented from immigrating to the U.S. by the Page Act of 1875, and Chinese men by the Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882. That name says it all.
Well, how can the Biden administration identify the underlying causes of gun-related crimes and address such violence?
When Trump and his fellow racist Republicans pushed the notion of the Kung Flu and the China virus last year to deflect their own incompetence, there was a significant uptick in hate crimes against Asians in America. These were not merely against Chinese, because most Americans think all Asians look alike and they can't tell the difference. Asians in America who would have never previously dreamed of owning guns bought them in record numbers after the media filled up with reports of anti-Asian hate crimes. In America, we have more guns than people, and it's easier to get a gun than to register to vote or even to adopt a dog. It's because of the pro-gun National Rifle Association, a lobby feared by politicians at all levels. Thanks to them, for a quarter century, the U.S. government was not even allowed to research gun violence. That prohibition was lifted in 2019, and the first research was funded less than a year ago, so the Congress still doesn't have enough data on which to write legislation, let alone have the votes to pass meaningful, effective gun safety laws. This desperate situation is almost hopeless.
That was Harvey Zodin, senior fellow with the Center for China and Globalization, talking about the human rights situation in the U.S. Reporter Liu Xiaoqian covered the Black Lives Matter protests last year. He spoke to families of victims and witnessed the chaos caused by racial incidents. Here's his take on racial problems deeply rooted in American society.
People often ask me about my perceptions from the year covering racial justice protests from coast to coast. I realize that in this country, people of color, no matter how humble or taciturn he or she is, need to conquer the fear to speak fiercely in public. Maybe because his or her family member was a victim of injustice and cannot speak for themselves anymore. Two interviews I conducted illustrate this view. One is with Mr. Jacob Blake Sr., whose son Jacob Blake was shot 7 times in the back by a police officer in Kenosha, Wisconsin. He is a gentleman in his late 50s, shuffling when he walks, but who could imagine an older man like him, probably without any professional public speaking experience, could lead a group of thousands of protesters in order to fight for the justice of his own son. I could tell Mr. Blake tried hard to be calm and make himself clear, breathing heavily between each sentence. Another interview was with a Latino Chicagoan whose name is Eric Vega, whose brother Miguel Vega was shot dead by police officer near Labor Day last year. The Chicago Police Department claims that he was involved in what police called a shootout, with officers claiming he had a gun. But his family was questioning that and the actions officer took in the moments following his shooting. Eric Vega, a shy young man in his early 20s, had to come forward even in front of armed police officer to call for justice on behalf of his family, which was devastated by the bullets from a policeman's gun. Eric was obviously nervous and helpless, but he had to do that. When we talk about racial injustice in the United States, the first name spoken is typically Martin Luther King, a legend living between pages of history books all around the world. His voice was so powerful and brave. Last summer, I visited the motel in Memphis where Dr. King was assassinated in 1968. I realized that decades later, not very much has changed. Dr. King was dead, but there are people like him in every corner of this country. Most don't have the strong voice and are not as photogenic as he was, but they're out there. For me, this is very sad. I don't think a democratic world should be this way, where people of color in any moment have to force themselves to become a public speaker.
With that, we end this edition of The Top Story. which gives you the why and the how for a stronger understanding of all the top events that occur in China and around the world. Subscribe to the Top Story podcast to gain a competitive advantage in preparing yourself for the news events that are shaping our lives and our future. For more top stories and more, visit chinaplus.cri.cn and listen to the Beijing Hour online. Drop us a line on our podcast so that we can provide you with even more content that interests you. I'm Wen Jie. Thanks for listening.